So Numbers chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 23. So the Birkat Kohanim, the priestly blessing, and it says in verse 20, we're going to start in verse 22. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. And the Lord, and remember when I said you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that translates to the most holy name of God, whenever we see it capitalized, and that is Yud Heh Vav Heh. That's spoken one time a year by the Jewish priests. And I'll go to synagogue this year at Yom Kippur, and he'll speak it, and then you don't hear it again. You ever hear Jewish people, they'll say Hashem a lot, means the name, because they reverence and respect the name of the Lord thy God, because they never want to take it, and this is not a slight against the church, but they just don't ever want to take it in vain, and they take it very seriously. So they say Baruch Hashem, which means praise the name, or they'll say, you know, Hashem. You'll see that a lot in the Torah. So it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, who are priests also, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel, and say to them. Interesting. Let's start there. Verse 23. Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless who? The children of Israel. Well, it says in the Torah, it says, bless my people. It's a mandate. It's a mandate. Bless my people. And the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance. And you see that? Well, in the original Hebrew, that word countenance is translated, and the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. And then he says in verse 27, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. It's a direct bless. But since we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, that's applicable to the church. Amen. Same rights. So that the blessings of Abraham might come upon who? We already talked about that, Galatians 3, 13, 14, 15. Upon the Gentiles. Or the church, if Jesus is your Lord. And it's a three-part blessing. But just to touch on a couple of things with regards to the Birkat Kohanim. And I'm probably going to reference my notes a lot. But traditionally, the Kohanim, which means priest in Hebrew, blessed the people every morning after the sacrifice at the temple. Today, many synagogues end their service with this blessing as a benediction. You may have gone to a church where the pastor at certain denominations would say that same thing. The Lord bless you, and the Lord, that's the Birkat Kohanim. So, during the time of this being said, it's a very solemn time. I'll touch on that a little further. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But it's prescribed as the descendants of Aaron were the Kohanim, and they were allowed to convey this blessing upon the people of Israel. And indeed, this practice continues in synagogues and services today. Pardon me. So, no, I'm gonna drink water. I apologize. But the priest removed their shoes and he washed their hands. And if there's not another rabbi or priest there, what they'll do is they'll have a Kohen, which is part of the tribe of Levi. Anyone, if you heard the last name Cohen, if their last name's Cohen, you can automatically know they're part of the tribe of Levi. My wife is part of the tribe of Ephraim. She apologized she couldn't be here tonight. You guys did the Shema, and hear, O Israel, the Lord of God is one, Deuteronomy 6. Well, we did sing last week at that, the day to honor Israel, Hanematov, which is Psalms 133. And so with that, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And then, you know, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Echad, and then Hinema Tovu Gamayim Shevetakim Gam Yachad. Echad and Yachad come from the same root word, which is Yachid. And that means total, complete oneness, a higher connotation of what you can actually comprehend in your natural mind, the total unity that God is and how unity you are with God. So if you're in total Hinema Tov with God, how can you not love other people? Right? And especially the same people from the same family of faith. Well, I settle that because my wife, that you guys, I keep saying the warm-up to, keep asking where she's at. Well, we've got a lot going on at the church. Had a lot going on. She works at the church at Walk on the Water Faith Church. And we got an ICFM conference coming up Tuesday. Starts tomorrow night. My pastor, Pastor Larry, is president of ICFM. He's speaking. I'm blessed to be speaking there Tuesday. And so with that, we got Brother Wiseman, a prophet of God, coming in. And if you can make it, I want to tell you not to miss church here. You always go to get fed at your local church. But if you can make it Thursday night, we'd love to have you. You won't be disappointed. And so Brother Wiseman's coming. So that's why she couldn't come. But what she's been doing and I've been doing together, we've been studying that yachid, that unity. So maybe when she comes, I'll have her come and she can teach and I'll kind of help her teach. Not that she's not, capable of it, but I just give her a reason to come. But she told me to tell you shalom. She told me to tell you lehit therot, which means see you very soon. And she loves you, but she couldn't make it. And I know you asked her but last Sunday, but she just, a lot going on. So with that, we're getting back. So it's customary to remove their shoes to priests because they take everything. It's very sacred, this blessing. Because it's a mandate by God that this is how you bless my people. And so what the priest would do, and they still do in synagogue, they remove their shoes. You notice I do it here, and I remove my shoes. It's very important. Show reverence and respect to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. And then they'll wash their hands. Well, I don't do as far as that, but the custom apparently is based on this verse in Psalms 134, verse 2, and it says, lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. And so before the priest would do the Birkat Kohanim, what he does is he'll announce it. And then what happens is, and there's women that in synagogue wear shawls, prayer tallits still, or they will. It's not just for men. And then the men, what they'll do is it's time for them to put their shawl, the prayer tallit, and I'll show you, they put it over their heads. It's kind of like your private prayer room, if you will. And then they recite this blessing very quietly, and they'll go, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher kedeshanu v'kedushato shel Aaron v'tzevanu leverech et am Yisrael b'hava. Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, who makes us holy with the holiness of Aaron and has commanded us to bless his people, Israel, with love. So keep that one statement, who makes us holy with the holiness of Aaron, because at that time, it was the priest that had the Holy Spirit on them, because the new covenant hadn't come. But I'll get to that way. It's important for the church still. So with that, when they would finish, the cantor can sing it or say, and then the priest would basically, they'll raise their hands, and we all know that. And if you spend at a service that I've been at, I'll do it. But they'll make this sign. And this isn't like the thing that Spock does. But this is like a W, if you will. But it equals the Hebrew letter Shaddai, or Sheen, which is Shaddai, which is another name for God. And so when the priests do that, they're basically reaffirming. And when the priest would do this up until the destruction of the Second Temple, Shekinah glory would flow through their hands. The glory of God literally would flow through their hands. And so to this day at synagogue, what they do is they'll cover their eyes with their right hand. They do that a lot in synagogue when they say prayers because they're focusing on the prayers. I'm not saying some do it out of tradition. I don't know a man's heart, but the reason why they do it is because they want to focus on what they're there for. They're there to worship. They're there to seek the Lord. And so they'll put their hands or to look at the floor. And it was, and the reason why they do that is because the glory of God would shine through and they're being respectful to God. And so to this day in synagogue, whenever they do that at every service I go to, because I still go to synagogue, they'll do that. You see everyone look like this. A lot of people put their prayer shawl up, like I said, and they'll do that, or they'll just look at the floor and focus on the blessing that God's imparting onto them and receiving it and searching their hearts. So it's a three-part blessing. And so with that, he said the Lord commanded his the Kohanim, the priest, to bless the people using not their own words, but rather his words. And we touched on it in verse 27. So thus shall you bless. This reveals that the blessing comes from the Lord, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh himself, correct? And the priests are nothing but just the form of transmitting that blessing or conduit, if you will. It's the same thing when we lay hands on people, right? It's the same thing. Before service, Pastor and I, we prayed for our brother, did praise and worship tonight, said he was being attacked in his body. And it's not I. When anyone gets healed, it's not nothing we did. It's just being obedient, yielding to the Holy Spirit, and saying, you know what, Lord, okay, we know that your word says this and your word is true, that by the stripes of Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you are the healed. Meaning that it's already done deal. That's what Jesus went to the cross for, not just our salvation. He went to the cross for our salvation, our healing, our prosperity, took all poverty. Because if you read, how many have read Deuteronomy 28 in its full context? I would encourage you to read it because it talks about here are the blessings. If you do his commandments and mitzvahs, mitzvah means commandments in Hebrew. And then it talks about here's what happens if you don't. Because what you do is you get out from underneath what they call a chuppah in Hebrew, that's a covering. So at a Jewish wedding, you'll see four witnesses holding each pole, and it's a canopy, if you will, and it's called a chuppah. And so what happens is, yes, why? And that's one of the questions you always get, well, then why do bad things happen to good people that are Christians? Well, their mouth could be getting awry with their words. They're not in alignment with what the Word of God says, and they start getting out from underneath that covering. Once you do, it's not that God doesn't want to help you. He can't because he won't go against his word. Praise God for the blood. And praise God for 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Psalms 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, he does what? He remembers our sins no more. Each day is a clean slate, fresh start. You know, you've always heard the expression, do over? Do over. Do over. So that's awesome. So it indicates further that this follows the Birkat Kohanim, and it's again verse 27 we read, so they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, I will bless them. So you notice that it says this is how you will bless my people, or you will speak this blessing, not blessings, because it's singular, because God, even in a multitude of the Israelites with Aaron doing this, or his sons, or any priest after that, it's personal from the Lord to you. So now you understand why they will do this. The Israelites do it, or the Jewish people in synagogue, or it'll look at the floor, because even though they're speaking it to, it could be 1,000, 20,000, 100, regardless of the number, it's personalized. It's to bless you, for you to receive. Big, big significant thing to remember about that. So the Hebrew word for blessing is berachah. And it's a word, its root word is lehavirik, and it means to join or intertwine. Isn't that awesome? Joining and intertwining with God. In John 1:1, as church, in the beginning was the Word was with God, or was God. So, it's confirmation, right? That's awesome. You got the living word living inside. He's called the Holy Spirit. It's intertwining with you. But James, being Jewish and the first pastor in the church in Jerusalem, Jesus' half-brother, he said faith without works is dead. So it's, you know, that's why it's not, you know, you don't do it just because it's, you know, well, out of tradition. Or you know, in charismatic circle, in the word of faith circle, you can see, you know, again, I'm not saying I know anybody's heart, but you can get caught up in tradition too. Mm-hmm. Why do you do that? Well, we've done that way all the time. Well, may not work that way. You know, God may want you to do it a different way, right? I mean, anyway, I don't want to get off on that. So I talked about the reasons why they don't look at the priest. And what happened was, everyone thinks that, oh, that's Spock. Well, what he did when he was a kid, because he's Jewish, Leonard Nimoy, he kind of looked at the priest, and they were looking for him because he was from another, I don't know, I got to get the wording right. What does my son say? Not a nerd, but, Trekkie, or I forget the other word. I don't know. But anyway, long story short, my son's kind of into that science fiction stuff, if you will. He's from another planet, I guess, right? And they're from the US of A, I guess, when they went on this quest or whatever. I don't watch the show. But at any rate, they were looking for him, some kind of greeting of his people. I don't even know what people he came from in that movie. So my son could rattle that off right now. He's 13. Vulcans, okay. Anyway, I want to get on Star Trek, but he was, when the producers and them asked him, and he said, well, what's your signing? He just went, because he knew that, watching the priest at the synagogue, and he said what? Live long and what? Well, that's why. Why? Because it was ingrained into him, right? Because we'll get to that about the three-part blessing. You know, isn't that awesome? Live long and prosper. Pretty good greeting. It's like saying shalom. I mean, when you're saying shalom, yes, that's the way we say hi and goodbye in Hebrew, but it's also means more than that. It means perfect peace, nothing missing, nothing broken, complete wholeness, complete restoration. So you're blessing everyone. So I love going to Israel, and or like I said, my buddy Stuart, who's Orthodox, was there last week, and or I go to, you know, St. Louis, and I do some things with the Jewish people, being Jewish, and I love it because they're shalom. I love it because it's just, in other words, it's bless you, be blessed. And I mean, so that's, a lot of words in Hebrew mean more, as we kind of saw. You know, as I was talking about that, you know, the words like moed, what, you know, doesn't mean just seasons or doesn't mean just feasts. It means a point of time. So when in the Holy Temple, the divine presence, like I said, would shine on the fingers of the Kohanim as they would bless them. And Psalms 19:9 says, the respect of Yud-Heh-Vav, or the Lord, is clean and it's enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord, there again Yud-Heh-Vav, are true and righteous altogether. Psalms 111 verse 10 says, the respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his mitzvahs, or again in Hebrew that means commandments, in English mitzvah. His praise endures forever. Let's look at Hebrews 12:9. Hebrews 12:9. I love this church. You guys got Bibles in your hands and not phones. Glory to God. Gold stars. Guys are awesome. Like turning the pages. Well, I'm not saying, you know, I'm old school. I like, I like bringing the Bible. I don't know why. I don't know. I'm not saying I look on the phone too, like, you know. I mean, you know what else I bring this from, but I kind of bring my Torah on the road, so my suitcase, you'll see, I'm always checking my bags because I just don't leave home without it. So Hebrews 12:9 says, furthermore, we have the human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Amen? So it's a respect thing, right? Psalms 66, verse 2. Psalms 66, verse 2. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. and Psalms 96:6. Psalms 96:6. It says, honor and majesty are before him, meaning Father God. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Amen. And Jesus said in John 8:49, Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Everything Jesus did, he did it for the glory of God, right? What did he say in John? You know, he said, I only do what my Father tells me to say. I only do what my Father tells me to do. Well, people go, well, he's pretty close-minded. Whatever you want to think, but where his word is, there's liberty, right? He set captives free, set us all free, right, in his room. And I'm sure we all have different degrees of stories, but at the end of the day, praise God, right? Yeah. For his mercy endures forever and for him being respectful to the Father, even unto death. So notice the phrase, I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is so important. May the Lord, Yud-Heh-Vav-Hey, lift up his face towards you. Remember I said in the original Hebrew and Torah, it says, and the Lord lift up his face to you. If you look in the complete Jewish Bible, it says that. The Lord lift up his face to you. Well, he's the king, right? The Lord, Father God. Well, that's a pretty important thing, because usually kings look down, right? Not that they're condescending, but they look down. But he's looking to you. What does that mean? That means exactly that what he's doing is he's holding you like this. Whether you are 7 years old, like this little girl, or four, and she's saved, because I know she's saved and he got good parents, because when we prayed for her dad tonight, she came up and grabbed my hand and she started praying. So you know the word of God's in that house. You know that. Kids are very, very good litmus tests. And I mean, not, you know, fruit inspector, your family, but it was just bless my heart, because she grabbed, come right up to me, grabbed my hand. I never met her before, and she just grabbed my hand, and she started praying. So whether it's that girl 4 years old, or you're 120 years old, and you're still alive, what Father God is doing is personally, that's why it's a personal blessing, he's holding you, and he's looking up to you as a father or mother does with your children or grandchildren, and your mercy, he's immersing you with his love. That, because God is what? 1 John 4:7-8 says he is what? He is love, right? And 1 Corinthians 13:8 says what? Love never fails. Why? Because God is love. And he's immersing you with his love at that point. And the Jewish people know that. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, because that's part of one of the parts of the blessing. So I just wanted to touch on that, and I'll kind of circle back to that in a little bit. He's got divine joy and favor for you. Regardless of what you've done, you're his child, you're born again, or even to the Jews, his chosen people, he's just immersing you with his love. I mean, as parents, we do the same thing. We're not happy what our children do, but we still love them. Why? Because God, that's how God is. We're made in his image, right? Genesis 1:26. Now let us make man and God in our image, right? So, kavana in Hebrew means focus, so in the beginning, only God could bless other people, because, like I said, the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit would rest upon the priest, right? And later, it's interesting. His first blessing was to Adam and Eve. He said what? Be fruitful. Later he blessed Noah and his sons as they left the ark. And God blessed Abraham, right? And it's interesting. Let's go to Genesis 12:3. Because now you see God not blessing, but now he gave empowerment at that point to Abraham to bless other peoples. Because what does it say? Genesis 12, verse 3. And it says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's why David, knowing Torah, had a lot of time on his hands when he was watching the sheep or his livestock for years, would study Torah. That's why he would know that. That's why he said in Psalms 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And all that pray for him will be what? You'll be blessed. Why? He's referencing, in Hebrew it's Bereshish, Genesis how you say it, but Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It's the first time God allowed another person to bless other people. So now you see how the priest, it could be transference of the Holy Spirit upon them to bless. And I'll get to, like I said, told you on that one thing, keep it in the parking lot about Aaron, right? That one little thing you recite or thing you say, the blessing you say before the Brit Mila even spoken in synagogue at the congregation. So Abraham did not directly bless Isaac because he wanted to also bless Ishmael, remember? He said, but no, Lord, Ishmael. And then he said, no, your wife at this time, around this time next year, will have a son. And God told him, this is awesome. He said, you'll give him the name Isaac. So I touched on it earlier, one of my other teachings when I was here, and that was Jewish people get names, whether first or last names, for a reason. And that means in Hebrew would mean the word Derek, which means what path you're going to go down. You know, nothing, whether you're secular Jews, because they weren't always secular, or whether you're just an Orthodox Jew that you're like my buddy Stuart, that studies Torah and, you know, and goes to synagogue, your name means something. So like my last name, Rab, means the same thing as Rabbi. And it means leader, chieftain, priestly, king, teacher. It also means abundance in Hebrew, prosperous. I'll receive that. And it also is another name for one of the names of God. And my father said, and he goes to my wife, and he goes, Marla, oy vey. And I went, he ain't a joke. But so I know that I was called to teach. I bucked it and bucked it and bucked it. And I told Pastor Jeff this one time, and I think it was at ICFM, but last year, I think, maybe you don't remember it, but I said, you know, I said the joke with the Lord, he's got a great sense of humor. I said, Lord, I waited all these years to, you know, I didn't want to teach. I knew I was called to teach the word, but I didn't want to teach. I want to do my own thing. And he said, well, how old are you? And I told him at the time, I'm like, I'm in my 40s, and he's like this. Well, at least you didn't wait till you're 80 like Moses. I mean, see how the Jewish humor works, coming into play now. Yeah, you know, I get to see Jesus kind of going to me, you know, at least he didn't wait 8 years. I'm just saying, you know. But anyway, it's a joke. I love it when you can have jokes with your Father God, right, and Jesus. It's like when I get on the elevator in D.C. one year at Christians United for Israel, Dr. Loretta, we're all on there, right, and Dr. Brim, and everybody's on the elevator, and we're getting on the elevator. It's pretty crowded, and I'm in the front, because I'm letting the ladies go on, and let Pastor Larry and Pastor Tom Luther get on, because the Missouri delegation, we're going to see, I think, Senator Blunt at that time, Senator Blunt. Anyway, so as I'm getting in, she goes, don't get your nose caught in the door. I mean, you know, of course, everybody starts laughing. And I looked at my wife, and I go, it's only been 6,000 years, what's another jab? Well, then everyone started laughing even all the more, right? Because it's like, yeah, it's humor. So, apologize. I went on a little bit of a rabbit hunt there, but you got to have fun when you teach the word and you're looking at the word, right? So, he blessed Abraham, but he didn't directly bless Isaac because Abraham wanted to bless Ishmael. So, in Genesis 25:11, that's when he directly blessed, God did, blessed Isaac. And, in Genesis 17:9, I apologize, I said 25:11. That's when he blessed Yaakov. But in Genesis 17:9, it says, then God said, no, Sarah shall bear a son, and shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. How long? So is there a time limit on that? I mean, that replacement theology should be debunked right there by that one verse. And that's another teaching, but you guys, praise God, you don't believe in replacement theology. But it's unfortunate. But an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. Well, meaning I guess I'm one of his I am one of his descendants. Baruch Hashem. But now you guys are grafted in. Glory to God, right? And you have the same rights, the same authority, the same privileges. Glory to God, right? And he says, and the power of the blessing was then transferred to Isaac, who then transferred it to Jacob. After that, after God had blessed him, gave him the authority to transfer blessings, who then blessed his 12 sons before he died, and that's in Genesis 48 and 49. I don't want to read it because it's like we'll be here till about probably 11 if we read that two chapters. They're long chapters. Great chapters. I encourage you to read them. But in the Torah, or the Bible, God later taught Moses that the power to bless others would now come from his appointed Kohanim. We touched on that and talked about that. His priests, because they were the ones that were the conduit. The Spirit of God rested upon them. So with that, one thing that men like myself, I do this at home, and you usually do it on the Shabbat or Shabbosh, Shavosh, which is another way of saying Shabbat in Hebrew. But I usually don't wait, but I always make sure my kids are around. And what a lot of congregants at our church men do is they do the same thing. And I speak the priestly blessing because that's part of it. I speak it over my son. And then I say, and may you be blessed like Ephraim and Manasseh. And the reason being is the significance between that. You add that to that after you speak the Berakah Kohanim. I say that over my sons or my son because my older son doesn't live with me, but my son, Warren, I'll do that. And Ephraim and Manasseh is because they lived in the most probably secular society at that time, Egypt. And even living there, Joseph, who's a type and shadow, is their father of Yeshua, like Joshua, like Joshua. He still taught them the word. Even when it wasn't favorable, he still taught him the word. You know what I mean? So that's why you say, may I bless him like Ephraim and Manasseh. That's why. So I do that. And my daughter goes to Go Ministries, Pastor Steve Munns, down in Louisiana. And I'll call her and gets to the point now. She gets so excited because she'll go, hold on. She'll put on speakerphone because all the other girls want to. I'll say, okay, I'll speak the blessing over them. God's not, Acts 10:34 says, Peter said, I perceive God's not a respecter of persons. It's their right. That's their heritage, so I'll speak the blessing over them. And then what I'll do is I'll lay my hands on my wife, and I said other men do this, and then I'll speak Proverbs 31 because you do it every Shabbat. And I you do that in the sight of your children because the Bible says in Proverbs what? Train up a child in the way they should go when they're old. And you're teaching them respect because that's one thing that this society, as we touched on earlier, is a lack of. Lack of respect for women. And it's not because you're weaker vessels. When Paul talked about that, about being the weaker vessel, no, that's not the true Greek translation. What he was saying was a fine vessel. I have a fine vessel of a wife. I'm really blessed because not only is she beautiful on the outside, but she's beautiful on the inside. And what husbands are supposed to do is you're supposed to treasure your wife as if like she's a Ming vase. That's what that translation means. So that's why you bless them. That making sense? That's exactly why. It's not that you're less. I don't like that, people. Well, you're a weaker vessel. Wait a minute. That doesn't give you the right to browbeat because first off, I've asked people in private when that has come up to me, how's that the love of God? You're acting. It's kind of like the Crusades. Convert the Christianity to Jews and I'm going to kill you. No. I mean, how's that the love of God? I mean, I'm not picking on Christians at the time, but it's now you can see why a lot of times up until recently, and you know these are end times because the Jews were getting that Hanema Tov. My buddy Stuart came to that. You ladies were there, and you know a lot of you congregate people from Grace and Faith Fellowship were there. He had a Jewish man, Orthodox. I'm talking about Yeshua. But you're seeing that because of the love of God. And he said after another service, he told Marla and I, he goes, and my son, and we're all sitting there, and one of the other gentlemen came by, and I said, remember I told you you want to get different opinions? I said, okay, now we got three Jewish men, my son, myself, and Stuart sitting here. You want to stick around, you're going to get like, walk away, and you're going to see like 25 different opinions in about 10 minutes. And he started laughing. He goes, I'm going to watch this for a while. But he said, I say that jokingly, you got to have humor, right? But he said, Stuart, I saw the love of God here tonight. Amen. He's an Orthodox Jew. But what draws people? What drew you to Jesus? It's the love of God, right? I mean, Pastor, if you tell people, you know, not picking on you, but if you tell people, well, you know, you're going to hell, you know, I love my pastor in Chicago, where Pastor Paul Wilbur was our praise and worship leader and a pastor up at Family Harvest, Pastor Rob Thompson. He goes, he was teaching one time, and he stopped, and he said, let me help you with something. And when pastors usually do that, or you're watching, like, say, Dr. Brim or Brother Copeland, you might want to really, like, write that down. It's a nugget. It's going to be good. And he said, let me help you. When you're out witnessing and telling somebody, don't go out and tell them, start when you're witnessing, that they're going to hell. They already know that. Before I was saved, doing the things that I don't want to talk about, I knew I was going to hell. I knew it was wrong. You just know it's wrong. I mean, am I right, Pastor? I mean, I'm not picking on you, but you know that, right? Don't tell them that you're going to hell. They already know that. Tell them God loves them. Start there. That's the starting point. That's the draw. My mom always said, you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. I mean, why? It's a Jewish parable? I don't know, but it's the truth. I mean, start there. So it's that love. You know, and that's what's part of this Berakit Kohanim, this blessing. Are you seeing right now it's important? Like I said, we talked about what these types and shadows and stuff. I mean, like I said, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're all going to a Seder meal. That's awesome. And you're all invited if Jesus is your Lord. We're all get to go. And he drinks the fourth cup, and that's the cup of redemption. Jesus said, draw near because your redemption draweth nigh. Right? So, anyway. So, another thing is the blessings in all mitzvahs or commandments should be performed joyfully. So, in other words, in synagogue, if there is a priest or a rabbi that had just had an experience of a loss of a family member, and, you know, that's not a good thing. I mean, you are sorrowful, but it is a good thing to us believers, and it's a good thing because they graduated. But there's a time of sorrow because you're missing them, right? It's just a fact. There's nothing wrong with that. But the point is, they're asked not to do the Berakit Kohanim. They're asked to actually go outside of the synagogue at that portion of the service. That's how seriously they take it, because you have to. They want you to be joyfully giving these commandments and doing his words. And what did Jesus say? My burden is light. My yoke is easy. I'm paraphrasing, but did he not say that? Yes. Why? He was the Kohen Hagadol, the high priest of all high priests. Jesus was, right? Yes. It said in Matthew 5. He said, "I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to what? Fulfill it." So that's why he said what he said. Now you're seeing the perspective. Oh, that's why he said that. Because he's going back, you got to do my commandments. What do you say? Joyfully. I mean, that's why it's fun to sing Hava Nagila. You know, Psalms 118, verse 24. That's what that is. This is the day the Lord's made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's why they sing it at a bar mitzvah, a bat mitzvah. A girl or son, bar is, you know, son, and bat is daughter. And then, you know, you sing it at weddings and stuff. Why? It's a joyful occasion. So when we go to marriage supper of the Lamb, Seder meal, I guarantee Jesus probably have us singing Hava Nagila. Greatest Jew ever lived. Right? I mean, just is what it is. Glory to God. So when they finish doing it, it's a threefold blessing. So they again say, with love. It's an integral part. We talked about that. We talked about, like I said, just witnessing to people. Why? You know, you want to do it in love. Tell them God loves them. That's the drawing factor. Even in my nonsense and my, you know, all the stuff, yeah, doesn't matter what you've done, the blood has covered it. Mm-hmm. No more powerful force on the earth is when Jesus, other than when Jesus today shed his blood on the cross, and then he went and he said, "Don't touch me, woman," talking to Mary, right? Mm-hmm. Why? Because he had not gone up to heaven to put his blood on the mercy seat. But he said, but go tell them I'm arisen. So there's that paradox in time, and I guess we'll ask Jesus up there, because that's the first question I want to ask Jesus. So how long was that? You know, I'm sure he'll tell me. But there he went up, put his blood on the mercy seat, and then came down, didn't he say to the disciples, "Touch me on flesh and bone." Didn't mention blood. Didn't have any blood. I'm flesh and bone. So it's covered. It doesn't matter what you've done. It's covered. It's under the blood. Once and for all. And I've got another teaching on the covenant of Chesed, the love covenant, and that's exactly what that's about. You know, everything we should do, we do it because we love him. Right? Mm-hmm. Yep. There's that word, yachid again. Total unity with God. Mm-hmm. So, First Peter 2:2-9, you said that. That's why I said, remember it said earlier, it said, with the holiness of Aaron? And I saw a couple people, and that's okay, but you kind of gave me that raised eyebrow, like, well, wait a minute. You know, that's okay. But that's because the anointing was only on certain people under the old covenant at that time, right? That's why the priest went into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the children of Israel. And they tied a rope around him. And he had a bell on. Why? Because that bell stopped ringing. Guess what? No one else is going there to yank him out. That's why Aaron's sons died. They did the priestly duties wrong. And what did God do? He killed them. Or, the glory. It's not that he wanted to. It's just God takes that stuff seriously. Right? That's why they did that rope around him and everything like that. They ain't going there. Pull them out. You know? So, we're going to go to 1 Peter 2:9, and you read it earlier, and I was so blessed that you read it. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his what? Marvelous light, or menorah. Because Jesus, and we talked about the teaching of menorah. That center candle, the Shamash candle, that represents Jesus. You ask any Jew, what does that center candle represent? It represents Mashiach. To us, Yeshua HaMashiach, because Jesus is our Lord, our Messiah.